Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very pleased to be here today. Just before to go further, I would like to thank my co-authors, Dr. Zibart and Dr. Nolin. To give you a brief overview of the talk today, there is the outlines. First, I will show you our approach. Then I will show you three cases of potato precision agriculture experimentation. The first case will be variable rate application of phosphorus and potassium. The second case is variable rate application of paper mill residue. And then the third case will be the use of management zone delineate with soil apparent electrical conductivity to manage nitrogen. And then I will give you what I think that would be the future of potato precision agriculture in Eastern Canada. Our approach. The cornerstone of precision agriculture is the spatiotemporal variability of soil and plant properties. To practice precision agriculture, we have to do three steps. The first step is we have to know where, when, and how much spatiotemporal variability we have. To do that, we have many tools. The second step is the understanding. We have to understand why we have this variability, and this variability is related to which factor limiting crop yield. At that time, that was the crucial agronomist's role. And then you have to ask you the third question. Is it possible to control that variability? Is it profitable to control it? And if it's yes, you can go, and you have some approach you could do. You could do a variable rate application or located management. This is our first case. In fact, that was an experiment we did 15 years ago. That was our first feat in precision agriculture. We looked what they were doing elsewhere, and we saw that they are doing a lot of variable application of phosphorus and potassium in catch crop. So we think that trying this in potato was a good idea. First, we find a 2 hectare field showing us a lot of variability. And in fact, we were very surprised in that 2 hectare field we find 4 soil series, which is a high potato diversity site. We could classify them as the loamy soil, which represent the higher productivity potential, and also the sandy soil group, which represent the lower productivity potential. We also did an intensive soil sampling to map the potassium and the phosphorus variability, and then we arrived with our experimental design with 3 treatments. 1 treatment without no application of P and K, another treatment which is the uniform application based on the great means of all soil sample we did, and then we also have a variable rate application which consists in 4 rates of phosphorus and 3 rates of potassium. What we were able to observe in 1 year on the 3 years, the variable application of P and K gave us a higher yield compared to the uniform application and, of course, compared to the control. But in the 2 other years, variable application and uniform application gave us equal marketable yield. Another thing we were able to observe that was the significant soil effect. In fact, the loamy group soil always gave us the higher yield, and the sandy group soil always gave us the lower yield. So what we learned at that time that was that soil-specific yield potential should be taken into account in precision agriculture by establishing realistic yield goals. Also, the P and K recommendation we use at that time was not specific, so we recommend that they should be at least specific to soil texture group. The second case is a variable rate application of paper mill residue. That experiment began by a grower who came to see us with this soybean yield map, because at that time we didn't even have the potato yield monitor. And he asked us why he has so much variation in that field. So we decided to investigate part of the field, the one with the black frame. the 24-hectare field. We did an intensive soil survey, and we also did an intensive soil sampling. The soil survey told us that we have only two soil series, the Bevin and Ivry soil series. The main difference between the two soil series was the Bevin soil series has a higher soil organic matter content compared to the Ivry, and the drainage in the Bevin was imperfect compared to the drainage in Ivry that was good. I told you that we did an intensive soil sampling that gave us the possibility to map the soil organic matter variability. This is the map we get. And from this map, we derive our experimental design. We decide that when the soil organic matter was over 5%, we have no paper mill application. Between 4 and 5, we apply a low rate. Between 3 and 4, we apply a medium rate. And when the soil organic matter was lower than 3, we apply a high rate. We also use for this experimentation 5 paper mill residue difference. And you can see them, we classify them L1, L2, M, H1, and H2, and that the classification is based on the CN ratio. L1 is the lower CN ratio compared to H1, who had the higher CN ratio. So one thing we were able to see only after 1 year of application, that we could improve our yield by using paper mill residue in all the management zone, soil organic management zone. But one thing that we were very surprised, we could improve, the improvement was always higher in the lower management zone. Another thing we were able to see after 1 year, it's the effect of the paper mill residue on the topsoil water storage capacity. If we look to the graph, here we have the control, and we can see that the water storage capacity decreases with the soil organic matter content. If we look to all the treatment we did, we could see that we have improved significantly the water storage capacity, and this improvement was more important in the lower soil organic matter area. So in terms of lessons learned, we learned that soil water storage capacity is one of the yield limiting factors and is closely related to soil organic matter in these sandy soil. The effect of variable rate application of paper mill residue were always more significant in the lower soil organic matter area. Paper mill residue improve water storage capacity and yield productivity, and improving physical properties like water storage capacity could have had a great impact on tuber yield. The third case is about the use of management zones. We want to evaluate the use of those management zones in management zones delineated by the apparent electrical conductivity to manage nitrogen. Again, that experiment began by a potato yield, the one you could see just over there. The grower come to us and ask us why we have so much variation in that field. We began an intensive soil survey and also an intensive soil sampling. We were able to link, to have a good correlation between the depth to declare the material in the field related to the potato yield. So in fact, the deeper was the clay material, the lower was the potato yield, and vice versa. We also used the Geonix EM38 to map the soil electrical conductivity. We use those data, and with some statistical method, we arrived at in that case, we should have 2 management zones in that field. That was a 13-hectare field. We named the management zone DMZ and SMZ related to the depth to declare the substratum. So the DMZ means the deeper clayoid substratum, and the SMZ means the shallower substratum, clayoid substratum. We monitor those two management zones for 3 years, and in average we have a yield difference of 6 tons per hectare of marketable yield between the two management zones. And we could also say that the SMZ had higher water availability due to the finer soil texture and the shallower dip to the clayoid substratum compared to the DMZ management zones. We also want to try those management zones to manage nitrogen. So in each management zone, we put a complete randomized block design of 4 repetitions. We use 5 hand rates, rating from 0 to 240 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. And we also use end timing to try to catch a bit of temporal variability. And we only use one source of nitrogen, which is ammonium nitrate. What we could observe, the effect of N rate on both sides, we always have a significant quadratic answer. We only get 1 year of significant interaction between N rates and the site. The N rates to achieve the maximum yield vary from 170 to 240. And we observe always a strong interannual variability. The effect of end timing, again, we have significant quadratic answer. We have no significant interaction between end timing and the site. And the proportion of nitrogen applied at planting to reach the maximum yield varied from 34 to 61. We also observe a strong interannual variation. And we also monitor the soil water nitrate in both management zones using a lysimeter. So on several occasions during the experimentation, the DMZ site has a higher nitrate concentration on soil water than compared to the SMZ site. And the DMZ site showed a greater susceptibility to N-leaching. The lesson learned with that experience, that management zone delineated with the soil electrical conductivity were useful to take into account part of the spatial variability. The end timing was also useful to take part of the temporal variability of the end availability. But the main lesson is that temporal variability of nitrogen is often higher than the spatial variability. One of the key factors to success in specific site nitrogen management is linked to the capacity of the soil to supply nitrogen. So I conclude the future of potato precision agriculture in eastern Canada. We have to improvement of physical properties is essential and should be considered as the first action in precision agriculture. Don't begin by fertilizer. Begin by improve your physical properties, then you go to fertilizer. Application using tools like the Geonix Viris or satellite images that give you a lot of information on soil and crops should be developed to delineate efficient management zone. For nitrogen, the development of efficient and rapid nitrogen mineralization tests plus the specific recommendation for soil and cultivar are needed if you want to succeed in precision agriculture. And for potassium, also, we still need specific recommendation for soil and cultivar. Thank you very much.
What methodology you use to measure soil organic matter?
The current methodology used in Canada, that was the Waukee and Black method, I think. Okay. Yes?
What was the mechanism for soil depth for controlling the electrical conductivity? You said the lower depth, there was higher electrical conductivity, was that?
According to our data, when the depth to the the shallower depth to the clayoid substratum is related to the higher yield and vice versa. So
what was the mechanism for controlling electrical conductivity?
the mechanism, well, electrical conductivity give us some information about many properties, many soil properties. And in fact, that give us some clue about when the texture change in the field and also about humidity in the field. So in that case, potato is a major limiting factor for potato growth. That's the reason when we have the higher substratum layer close to the potato, we have better yield.